W22 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former President Obama is the big draw tonight at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Pat is a delegate from Illinois.
I want to feel like I'm in a high school gym at a pep rally. And I want his speech to appeal to a lot of young voters.
Vice President Harris won't be there. She's stumping in Wisconsin tonight. Earlier today, Donald Trump rallied voters in Michigan discussing crime and safety.
In terms of law enforcement, just about every law enforcement group in the country has endorsed us, as you probably have heard. And there's a reason for that, because I believe in law enforcement. The other group doesn't.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken just left Qatar, where he says they need a ceasefire deal desperately to get hostages back home.
What we are all united on is the urgency of the moment, because, as I said, with every passing day, more bad things can happen.
Israel recovered the bodies of six more hostages overnight in Gaza. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. At the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's almost like two conventions in one. Vice President Kamala Harris's Milwaukee rally tonight will be shown live to the DNC in Chicago. Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
The people we need to excite are people who don't have a $500 a night room or train fare to try to, get here.
And that person can stay in Milwaukee.
Go to the Five Surf Forum.
Governor Evers says it goes to show what technology can do. Young Democrats say they're especially energized. 18-year-old delegate Henry Pello is from Maribel. He says young Democrats are urging people to contact friends and relatives personally about registering and voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Menominee man was arrested last week after a high-speed chase that ended in Pepin County. According to law enforcement authorities, a Buffalo County deputy tried to stop the car around 11 p.m. on Thursday when it turned off its lights and sped up, forcing the deputy to end their pursuit. Soon after, a Pepin County deputy saw the vehicle still traveling with its lights off, leading to a chase that reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. 36-year-old Matthew Smith was arrested after he abandoned the vehicle in Durand. The Menominee City Council has voted to allow geese to be hunted in four city parks. According to a WQOW report, on Monday, the city council determined that there were too many geese causing too much waste in the parks near Lake Monoman and the airport area. The hunt will only be conducted by members of the police department, and it will be regulated by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The city will also notify nearby residents, businesses, and schools when a hunt will take place in one of the parks. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals open up a three-game series tonight at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Milwaukee's Frankie Montas against the Cardinals' right-hander Eric Fetty. The Brewers with an 11-game lead ahead of the Cardinals in the division, coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. The Cards losing to the Dodgers Sunday 2-1. NFL, Packers back at practice after losing in Denver 27-2. Quarterback Sean Clifford on what he could have done differently in the game.
It's tough to say just now, broadly, speeding it up a little bit. I thought that there were some plays to be made where my eyes were just late. When you're playing guys like Pat Surtain and the Broncos once, you just can't be late. And if you are, it's going to either result in an incompletion or interception. So I thought that was, when we had plays and we made plays, it was on time.
That's Packers backup quarterback Sean Clifford. They face the Ravens Thursday in a joint practice. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, nice day, high mid-70s. Partly sunny and upper 70s Thursday, chance of showers late. Showers linger into early Friday, then heating up into the weekend. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to land for Oconomowoc.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning from Chicago, we'll wrap up day 2 of the Democratic National Convention and the warm reminiscence during Barack Obama's comments.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Now, your hosts, Todd Alba and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Center in Chicago, Illinois, in night 2 of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News. I'm joined by Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. Todd, thanks for stopping by tonight.
It is always a pleasure, Terry. Great excitement here in Chicago, and thanks for having me at the desk.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We have a lot to talk about today. The big one today, I would say, from a standpoint of a Wisconsin person, is the fact that I like to say it's almost like two conventions in one tonight, or the convention is in two separate venues tonight, because as we speak, the crowd up at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee is getting ready for their own rally with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Yeah, absolutely, Terry. It is this kind of divergent, a tale of two cities tonight, and not that far away. I know we're going to bring in, I believe, via phone, Mr. Zommers, our great producer, engineer, back at the world headquarters in Madison. Dan Schaefer of the great recombobulation area is on the phone. Dan, it's our understanding that you are on the ground outside the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. What's the scene there right now?
It is full of excitement here in downtown Milwaukee around Fiserv Forum. There are long lines to get in, and inside, the DJ Shauna is rocking the party here, and it is like a playoff game type atmosphere. I've been here for, you know, many people know I'm a huge Bucks fan. This is quite the experience. It does remind me of being here back in the building during the Bucks playoff run a couple of years ago. It's that kind of excitement.
DJ Shauna is a busy individual indeed. She was at House of Blues last night until at least midnight because I saw her playing there. So now she's up in Milwaukee. She's everywhere. Dan, stand by a second because Terry alluded to this. This is a really important night for the Harris campaign. Not only are the Obamas speaking, but Michelle and former President Barack Obama here in Milwaukee, or in Chicago, but up in Milwaukee you have Harris and Walz up there. David Plouffe, who of course ran Obama World to help Obama into the White House, is now being brought on and helping run Harris World. He talked to WISN Channel 12 today, Matt Smith, and talked about why Harris and Walz are in Milwaukee. Here is that clip.
Why is she in Wisconsin inside Fiserv Forum Tuesday night? What's the significance of that in the midst of DNC?
Well, first of all, we only have 77 days left, so even though the convention's going on here, if you've got an opportunity to get to a battleground state as important as Wisconsin's going to be, you take it. Secondly, Trump delivered his convention address there. I think she'd like to contrast what she'd do as president with what Donald Trump said a few weeks ago in Milwaukee in that arena. But Wisconsin's going to be critical, as it always is. And so, you know, the one thing that keeps me up at night is tomorrow there'll be 76 days left. Like, there's only so much time to get into battleground states and make your case to voters, and she's very focused on doing that in a direct way.
What is your biggest concern that you see in Wisconsin in terms of winning the state? As you know, 10, 20, 30,000 at best voters are going to decide that.
Well, that's what's the biggest concern. It's just going to be close.
Yeah.
So I think Kamala Harris has the enthusiasm required to build the kind of organization to win a close state. The Wisconsin State Party under Ben Wickler is a great organizing machine. So there's good apparatus there. The folks in that state have won a lot of close elections up and down the ballot over the last few years. So we're very confident in that. But in this election, you know, Wisconsin's not going to be decided by more than a couple points. You know, unless Donald Trump really closes poorly, I still think Kamala Harris has some upside.
David Plouffe, who ran Obama World and now is helping run Harris World. Dan Schaefer, you know Wisconsin politics better than anybody I know. It couldn't have gotten more discombobulated than 30 days ago when President Biden decided to withdraw. Help us recombobulate this. 77 days left. What does this mean to have Harris and Walz in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you're right. It has been a discombobulating summer in the political world, but I think it is important that, you know, they're recognizing this opportunity here to bring Harris and Walz to Milwaukee, you know, the same place that Donald Trump delivered his speech less than a month ago for the RNC. And, you know, I ran into State Senator LaTanya Johnson here at the arena a few minutes ago before we jumped on the call here. And you know, she talked about how important it was to motivate people in Milwaukee to get to the polls. And I think, you know, there have been, we know that Wisconsin is kind of going to be one of the six or seven swing states that is going to decide the winner of the presidential election. And why not just make a quick trip up the road to Milwaukee, have a little call and response maybe between the
right.
two cities, between the two arenas. And, you know, maybe Kamala Harris just wanted to be in the arena where the basketball team has won a little bit more lately, right? Everybody loves
exactly,
the winners,
exactly.
Right?
So, you got the MJ yeah. statue down here in United Center, but it's Giannis Antetokounmpo who's won the championship most recently.
Dan, I was speaking right. with Congresswoman Gwen Moore earlier today, and she said a lot of things that you touched on, and it seems very important, I think, Milwaukee. We heard a lot about how important Wisconsin is, but it should not be lost in the conversation that Milwaukee is terribly important to how Wisconsin does, especially women of color.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, State Senator Johnson talked about that too, but I also think about, you know, with Barack Obama speaking tonight, I think that's a good reminder of how turnout can really be changed by who's on the top of the ticket. When Obama was running for re-election in 2012, that was the high watermark for turnout in the city of Milwaukee. And it has not really reached that sense. So perhaps, you know, with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket and rallying people here in Milwaukee, obviously she made her first campaign rally once she became the presumptive nominee in West Dallas less than a month ago, now back in Milwaukee again during the DNC. You know, I think we're going to see a whole lot of stops from the Harris-Walz campaign and drive those turnout numbers back up to where they were when Obama was on the top of the ticket.
Dan, you're very connected. Have you heard from anybody? I've heard some scuttlebutt speculation around here about maybe it wasn't such a great idea to have the Harris rally and the Obama speech on the same night, that it might be diluting one speech or the other, and that there might be some kind of scheduling conflict. Have you heard anything about how they're going to pull all this off successfully tonight?
Yeah, it's certainly a lot to manage, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, once the speeches get going, what the, you know, back and forth is going to be like between these two events. But I think, you know, the more activity, the better. And we think, you know, I think we know that it's going to be really important to capture that enthusiasm. I think, you know, the immediate change talked about, you know, the honeymoon period for Kamala Harris. Being on that ticket, you got it. It's important, like the clip that you played before, to, you know, recognize just how little time there is between now and Election Day. So perhaps if there had been, you know, if this was a little further out, maybe we space these things out a bit. But I think it's just all gas, no brakes for the next 70-some days until we get to Election Day.
Dan, very quickly, before we go to Stuart J. Waddles, who is also covering other activity in the southeast Wisconsin, to Terry's point, have you heard that the scheduling in terms of getting all this in, I heard that people coming to Fiserv tonight to see Harris Walz in person, they're also going to be able to stick around, and hopefully the timing matches up, that they can listen or watch Obama on the big Jumbotron in Fiserv tonight.
Yeah, I have heard a little bit about that. They talked about being able to watch inside the arena. I think there's also going to be people outside watching in the Deer District. It's a beautiful night in Milwaukee, so I think you're going to get a lot of people out and about downtown, enjoying the speech too. So I think it's going to be able to, you know, I'm just thinking back to 3 years ago when we were celebrating here during the Bucks' remarkable championship run. Maybe we'll have the same kind of good vibes here for Barack
Obama's
speech.
You're telling me it's Harrison Six. Harrison Six. That's what you're telling me.
<That's right.
laughs> Terry Bell, your great news team.
That's right.
That's right. Terry Bell, your great news team. Stuart J. Waddles all over this. There's other excitement happening in Southeast Wisconsin today.
Stuart's had a very busy day today. Not only is he at the Harris Walls rally in Milwaukee tonight, earlier today, he was in Kenosha covering Republican vice presidential running mate J.D. Vance's appearance there. Stuart, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, very bipartisan day for me. Very bipartisan.
That's true. So I guess now that you are there, and I know these were two very different kinds of events, so it may not be an apples-to-apples comparison, but, you know, talk to me about what struck you about, you know, being at both of these venues today and the difference.
I think that the same thing is energy, whereas earlier today you had 200 people, but you had that energy. Here, we're in double-digit thousands. I know Fiserv has capacity at 17,000. Trying to see some of these seats that are pulled back. At this point, it's tough to get a number on it, but again, just the differences in numbers, there's the energy between it all. And what I just learned, it was kind of interesting. So DJ Shauna is doing her thing inside. I heard you talking to Dan about that. She just did a little vibe check of the crowd saying, who's here from where? Who's here from there? She asked who's here from Illinois. And I was kind of surprised at the amount of applause. So there's a lot of Illinesians that have made the trip up. So going back and forth, they're at the DNC there. And then there's you might be familiar with the term Wrigley North. I kind of am considering this United Center North. For this evening.
Very quick, let's go back to Dan Schaefer. Dan, I want to get your take on this very quickly because you follow state legislative races in Wisconsin better than anybody. What can this do potentially when with these new maps now in Wisconsin, having Harris and Walls continuing to pound on the ground in Wisconsin grassroots, what effect could this mean in November for Wisconsin Democrats in the Assembly and State Senate?
Yeah, I think enthusiasm translates to turnout, and turnout translates down ballot. And I think that is a really important thing to recognize about this as well. You know, one of the best sites that projects state legislative races around the country is a site called CAnalysis. I've used them in my projections as well. They are now projecting that the state assembly is going to be a toss-up. Before it was leaning Republican, I think they gave the Democrats about a 30% chance of flipping the state assembly. Now they've moved that to 50-50 with a number of races all shifting in the Democrats' direction. So I think, you know, I think there's going to be a couple of things happening that are going to be benefiting each other. I think the enthusiasm at the top of the ticket for Kamala Harris is going to matter for down ballot candidates, where I think we're also going to see some reverse coattails, as they call it, with some of the more energy with the new maps, you know, kind of pushing more people into the streets to campaign, more people knocking doors, more people making phone calls for those state legislative races. And that's going to matter up and down the ticket. And I think the more, you know, competitive elections that we are going to have in the state legislature, and there's going to be more in now than we've seen in more than a decade in Wisconsin with the new maps, that is going to reverberate up and down the ticket in a myriad of ways.
Dan Schaefer, I'm no soothsayer, I'm no fortune teller, God knows I'm no psychic to the stars, but I see more combobulating between us in the future. That's what I'm seeing in the future. Dan Schaefer, thank you for helping us recombobulate.
Dan and Stuart, too, thank you for joining us from Milwaukee. Still to come, we're going to talk about a very key part of Wisconsin and the difference it could make for all kinds of elections. Stay with us.
The Tap.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file. style.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Once again, your hosts, Todd Allbaugh and Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Chicago, and we are joined now by Josephine Janes. She is a standing member of the Democratic National Committee and a former chair of the 3rd District Democratic Party in Wisconsin. First of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And your former title that I just mentioned is the reason we're having you on tonight. And I may be a bit of a homer. Todd and I each are sons of the 3rd District and still stay in touch with a lot of folks back home. And I find the 3rd District absolutely fascinating in this election year in a race that we hear about a lot about how important Wisconsin is. I'm willing to bet that you would agree that the 3rd District will have quite a bit of say into how things turn out in November.
I mean, the road to flipping the House of Representatives runs through Western Wisconsin, as does, I think, the road to the White House.
Right. So, I mean, it's the number of votes in the 3rd District is just incredible. I mean, they were responsible for about half of the margin in a recent statewide Democratic victory. I cannot remember which one off the top of my head, so I apologize, but it just goes to show how critical the 3rd District can be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really shows, like looking at Judge Janet's race and the recent referendum races, like if you look at Western Wisconsin, we turned out, and I think that really shows that Dem messaging works, and I think it's a good sign. Mm-hmm. For this November.
I am curious to know the 3rd District Congressional Democratic primary just came out. The elbows were a lot sharper than we normally see in primaries in this day and age of politics. Do you think that's going to be something that activists are going to have to work hard to overcome some hurt feelings and some feelings like that?
I mean, I think there's always hurt feelings after a primary. Yeah, I came on both sides, so I think there are going to have to be a few, bridges kind of mended. But we'll come together because beating Derek Van Orden is a lot more important than anything that happened before the primary.
I would venture to say that voters in the 3rd District not only have a contrast in policy positions, but in personal style, too. It's style and substance that voters seem to have a clear choice on this November.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of the reason why I think that the 3rd is so flippable is because of the fact that Derek Van Orden, he's an embarrassment, to put it plainly. And he's not even one of us. He's a carpetbagger. He moved into the district in 2020 to run against Ron Kind. And then he's just kind of stuck around until he finally got in office and has just constantly made the news for all the wrong reasons. And out in Western Wisconsin, we don't like that. We liked Ron Kind quietly doing the work for us. We don't like flashy.
Well, and I think that extends all the way back to Steve Gunderson. He was very much a moderate that, a lot of Democrats could get behind.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a lot of kind of people who cross their tickets. And, I ran for office in 2020. I ran for the assembly. And people had my signs next to Trump signs. And I can tell you my messaging was nothing like Trump's. But it's a lot about character, too, which is funny that they had Trump sign up if it's about character. But
well,
again,
split-ticket voting is very much a Wisconsin tradition, I have to say that.
Well, and I think it's, especially the more local the election, it's your neighbor. We don't really see red or blue. We see neighbors, which is why I love Tim Walz being on the ticket nationally, because he gets us. Yeah. And I think compared to Derek Van Orden, Rebecca Cook, she is one of us. Grew up on a dairy farm in rural Eau Claire County. She knows how to talk to her neighbors. I think people don't understand. Some Dems don't understand how us rural Dems, we don't get the luxury of always speaking to like-minded people because there's not a lot of them. You know, we learn how to talk to our neighbors in church basements and at the grocery store, in schools. So we're able to have these conversations a lot easier, and we're able to communicate our progressive values in a way that isn't scary.
That's what I think one of the great things about the 3rd District is. You know, you have some, you know, generation families that have been in that area, you know, for 100 years or more, and maybe some of them might lean more conservative. And then you have a lot of the transplants that have come to the area maybe in the last 40 years or so. And the harmony in these towns is just remarkable. I just love going back to visit.
Yeah, that's actually my family. We're a transplant family. Yeah. My parents are both from the area, but my grandparents weren't. And then actually, my dad was in the military, so I wasn't even born in Western Wisconsin, but we moved back. But it's definitely the sense of community in Wisconsin and in rural communities, Western Wisconsin in particular, like, community matters. And I think that that's, again, Derek doesn't get that.
I think somebody grew up in Richland Center and still have a lot of family back there, went to school at Platteville. And I think, well, a lot of what you're saying is absolutely true. In my experience, I ran for the 96th Assembly District back in 2004, lost in a primary because I was too moderate of a Republican. That seems to be a seat that Democrats can win this time around with redistricting. Talk a little bit about up and down the 3rd District. There are some opportunities here. Dan Schaefer talked about it on the recombobulation areas before you came on, that there is that the Wisconsin Assembly now has been put into a toss-up column, in part, I think, because some of these races in Western Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I'm actually really excited about the potential for the 96 to flip. I'm upset that they took Crawford County out. I love the Crawford County Dems. I love Crawford County.
I'm from Gaze Mills.
It's a historic part of the district because the last Democrat to hold that district, Governor Patrick Lucey, who from Ferryville.
That's going back a ways.
That's going back a ways. I think like 1948 maybe. So I was a little upset that, but you know, it's going to be great to have it flipped. Tara Johnson is a great choice. You know, with her work on the La Crosse County Board and as chair, she's going to do great things in the assembly. And then also, like, up north, Christian Phelps, you know, young progressive who made it through that primary, really exciting. I think that shows that progressive messaging works if you just talk to your neighbors.
I think so much of his public education. I mean, Christian's been involved with the Wisconsin Public Education Network, and all of us who grew up in Western Wisconsin, look at Ithaca in Richland County, Kickapoo in Reedstown. I mean, the schools are, the public schools are the communities, and I think when the message is community and public education, that resonates across normal partisan lines.
I wholeheartedly agree because I think when we had the superintendent race, some people were surprised at how rural areas voted for Jill Underley. And I was like, why? We don't have the option of sending our kids to voucher schools. You know, public school is the only school option for us out here. And they are the absolute heart of our communities. So many of these small towns would disappear without the schools. That's where you get together. That's like, it's the heartbeat of the community.
And all typically the biggest employer in any given town that small.
And also when you start attacking our schools, it's like, wait a minute. A lot of the teachers like are graduates. Or at least graduates from other schools. And I think that public education is one of those things that crosses party lines that Dems need to talk more about.
You've been here since Sunday or Monday, I imagine. Tell me about, you know, what you've observed, the interactions you've had with Democrats from around the country.
It's been so exciting. I think as a young Dem, I've never experienced something like this before. A lot of people are talking about how it's reminiscent of 08. And I wasn't old enough to really understand the significance of 08.
And now I think you're getting a taste of it.
Yeah.
All right. Josephine Chains, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Civic media coverage of the Democratic National Convention continues. We're going to bring in our analysts to help us understand what it all means. Don't go away.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Up the road near the site of the Kenosha riots, Republican vice presidential running mate J.D. Vance picks up another endorsement from law enforcement. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Vance used that space to talk about crime and safety as he continues his campaign in swing states. The Kenosha Police Union endorsed Vance just a few days after the Milwaukee Police Union did the same. Vance was joined on stage by Senate candidate Eric Hovde, Congressman Brian Stile, and members of local law enforcement. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Governor Evers' task force on Wisconsin's healthcare worker shortage is out with its recommendations. They include more grants to employers for attracting and retaining employees. The recommendations will go into Evers' state budget proposal next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Two new outdoor trails are nearing completion in the city of Eau Claire. According to a WQOW report, the Half Moon Trail connecting Folsom Street to Madison Street is currently slated to be finished in mid-September, and the new trail near the Galloway Flats development could be completed in just a couple of weeks. The Half Moon Trail project cost roughly $600,000 in total, of which the city of Eau Claire will only need to pay about $120,000 thanks to a state grant refund program. A temporary ban on dispersed camping in the Eau Claire County Forest is now in effect. According to a Facebook post from Eau Claire County Parks and Forest, the temporary ban went into effect on Friday and will continue through October 15th. Further social media posts say the department has seen an increase in littering, illegal activity, and camping without permits in the county forest. During the ban, residents will not be able to purchase a camping permit. Coon Fork Campground and Harstad Campground will remain open. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary talk show host Phil Donahue passed away at the age of 88. Donahue, known as the King of Daytime Talk pre-Oprah Winfrey, passed on Sunday, August 18th. He started his TV talk show career in Dayton, Ohio, tackling current events even if they made people uncomfortable. It was when he moved the show to Chicago and added a studio audience that the show became wildly popular before moving to New York in 1985. Donahue was the winner of 20 Emmy Awards, 10 as a host and 10 for his show. Oprah Winfrey, who took over the title as daytime talk show champ, wrote in O, the Oprah Winfrey magazine, that if there had been no Phil Donahue show, there would have been no Oprah Winfrey show. According to People magazine, Donahue was the first mainstream talker to acknowledge that women were interested in things other than mascara and cake recipes. In May of this year, Phil Donahue was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Joe Biden. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, nice day, high mid-70s. Partly sunny and upper 70s Thursday, chance of showers late. Showers linger into early Friday, then heating up into the weekend. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcement at 11:33. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Once again, your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Chicago. And Todd, I had the privilege of, you know, my workstation is in the arena at the United Center. And one of the coolest things of this week for me personally happened when I was working away on my laptop and all of a sudden out comes Patti LaBelle to rehearse for her performance tonight.
You can't beat that.
It was a privilege. It was just the thrill of a lifetime. And it was, like I say, a privilege. It was really exciting.
And she's still got the chops.
She still does. And there was a smattering of people in the arena that time of day.
Yeah.
But the applause she got sounded like 10 times as many people.
I bet it did.
It was a lot of fun.
That's part of this convention, right? I mean, it's just fantastic to see these people coming. You have entertainers. You have real celebrities. We're not talking Scott Baio. We're talking Patti LaBelle, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Another thing that I noticed is the Wisconsin delegation is going to be very conspicuous tonight. At the delegate breakfast this morning, they handed cheesehead hats out to everybody. And the Wisconsin delegation, they're really close to the stage, off to the side, up in the seats a little bit, not on the floor. But because of that and because of all these yellow cheese hats that are going to be on the television a lot tonight, mark my words.
We're watching some of this. For those watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you see some of the folks here, our own Maggie Dawn and others wearing these cheese head hats. I think it started at the RNC in Milwaukee when the Texas delegation had the cowboy hats and the Wisconsin people said, well, we can, well, here, hold my beer, we're going to give a cheesehead hat.
Well, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess.
that's exactly right.
There are other important things. Go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say very quickly, before we bring our panel here, let's get their take on this. We've been talking about this, that the Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz are going to be in Milwaukee tonight. Fiserv Forum is filling up, what we understand from Dan Schaefer and Stuart J. Waddles. And one of the White House pool reporters just tweeted out a photo of Vice President Harris on a military helicopter traveling right now from Milwaukee or from Chicago to Milwaukee and reviewing her speech. I mean, if that isn't cool, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time to be following politics. We're lucky to be here. And to talk more about it and help us understand it a little better, let's bring in our analysts. And they are Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive and the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and Trygve Olson of the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, the energy level here in Chicago seems to be going up so much to the point that it's spilling over into Milwaukee now. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it was a really smart move. First of all, it signifies that Wisconsin is crucial. That's the most obvious thing. And I think the clip from David Plouffe a little bit earlier underscored that. But look, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz will get a lot of local Milwaukee coverage that is unique to Milwaukee. It's not the general feed from Chicago. And it will speak to people in Milwaukee. It will galvanize the base. It will sign up a lot of volunteers. And the media coverage will help in the wow counties where I think Kamala Harris has a real shot to keep building Democratic support in these traditional Republican areas. So I think it's very smart for those reasons.
I interviewed Congresswoman Gwen Moore earlier today, and she said, you know, the rally in Milwaukee tonight is for the kind of voters they need to reach and the kind of voters who can't afford to spend several hundred dollars a night on a hotel in Chicago and take part in all of this. So, you know, that voter can go to Fiserv Forum tonight.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too. And I think the people who are going to get in the Fiserv Forum are the true believers, and they'll get really jazzed up. But I think the secondary audience is the audience on local TV in the Milwaukee area, which is going to be crucial as well. And I think they'll get a sense of Tim Walz, who wears really well in Wisconsin. And also they'll get to see Kamala Harris up front, you know, from their living room. And I think that's going to be a plus, too.
Trygve Olson, you helped run the late, great Senator John McCain's presidential campaign. You've been to a lot of these national conventions on the Republican side over the years. You were with us in Milwaukee at the RNC. You've been down here in Chicago with us for a couple of days now at the DNC. Compare the energy. Compare what you're seeing between the two based on your experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think a few things that are important, Todd. One, you know, the DNC looks like America today, right? And I don't just mean demographic diversity, but there's demographic diversity that you didn't see in Milwaukee. There's generational diversity. I think there's economic diversity down here. And the second thing is there's a level of excitement at the DNC. And in fact, Karl Rove was alluding to this. I think Karl's here or not, but was alluding to how much energy there seems to be and how quickly the Democrats united. And then I think the third contrast, quite frankly, is you look at the first night of speakers at the DNC. And when you did kind of have the celebrity speakers that appear at every convention, right? Here at the DNC, you had Steve Kerr, who gave a speech of substance, who actually is a, you know, I alluded to this on the show earlier, somebody whose father was an American who was killed in Beirut when Steve Kerr was in college, versus Hulk Hogan. And I don't really know how to describe it other than serious people talking about how much, you know, problems that America has, but how we can solve them versus really kind of unseriousness that we saw in Milwaukee.
Well, there seems to have been a reality TVization of a lot of the politics of our time. If the Democrats prevail in November, could that be turned back, or is that toothpaste out of the tube?
Well, I think Steve Kerr was a really smart choice, and I do hope we get back to more substantive speakers and less circus atmosphere like you had at the RNC. I think the DNC is doing a much better job of it. I mean, last night I thought the three best speakers did not include Biden or Hillary Clinton, but actually was AOC and Senator Warnock and Jasmine Crockett. I thought they gave great speeches. And I also thought it was very affecting to see the three women who had been victimized by the Dobbs decision give us their personal accounts. I thought that was quite persuasive.
I think to build on Matt's point, I think that the women with the Dobbs decision matter with the voters that are going to decide it in Wisconsin. I think Steve Kerr brought something to the table with them too, because it was a serious speech. You know, at the end of the day, the election in Wisconsin, assuming, and I think this is true, you're going to have the kind of turnout in Milwaukee and Dane County that Democrats need. It's going to come down to the third district, like your previous speaker was saying. And a lot of that is going to be what we call Dobbs dads and democracy first moms in places like Eau Claire County, La Crosse County, places where you have University of Wisconsin System Schools, my hometown of Pierce County. I think interestingly tonight, and I was thinking about this today, this convention reminds me a lot more of 2004 in the Republican convention, where you had people like Joe Lieberman and a lot of Democrats coming and speaking on behalf of President Bush about national security. It's interesting. Tonight we're going to see, and tomorrow night with Adam Kinzinger, we're going to see Republicans, former Republicans like myself, people who are going to be speaking to those voters in a place like Wisconsin, Evers Johnson kind of voters, about why they're setting aside their natural partisan inclination to put democracy and freedom and basic rights that we, and quite frankly, normal, on the ballot versus sort of the strange and weird, or, you know, weird's getting to be an overused word, but quite frankly, against that weird that we saw with Kid Rock and Hulk Hogan in Milwaukee.
You know,
well,
I too am
the
very
case that a go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
I just wanted to play off of what Trigvi was saying and agree that I'm very interested in hearing what the Republicans for Kamala Harris are going to say. I'm very interested in hearing what Stephanie Grisham, the former Trump press secretary, is going to say. I think those people can have real leverage and inroads with people the Democrats are going to need to get over the finish line here. I also want to throw out another thought, and that is this lock him up rhetoric. I don't think that's helpful. And Kamala Harris handles it much better when a crowd does that. But when it happened, when Hillary Clinton was speaking, and I know it was a very rich moment, but it was too rich, actually. And you're turning people off who you want to bring along. And, you know, not going back means not going back to that kind of villainization rhetoric. And so I'm hoping that folks, both at the Pfizer Forum and also down there in Chicago, will give a pass to that and speak more to moving forward, turning the page, which I hope Barack Obama will bring back. We do want to turn the page on all this craziness.
Well, I can imagine what these current and former Republicans are going to say to a general audience about why they are supporting Kamala Harris in this race. So I guess, you know, what is the message to those Republicans who are all in for Donald Trump? It's a, you know, not an insignificant amount.
Trigby?
I don't really think there is a message to them. You know, at the end of the day, the 35% that are 100% behind Donald Trump for the time being, quite frankly, as we move through the election, there isn't a lot of time that should be spent trying to speak to them because you're not going to move them. Now, should there be efforts, which the Democrats are doing a good job of, speaking to the moms in Ozaukee County who in this just recent primary period voted against the constitutional amendment and seem to be making it appear, at least to a degree, that the wild counties are no longer 70-30, or at least not Ozaukee County, 70-30, or like my home county of St. Croix County, they're no longer 60-40 Republican can take for granted, but in fact are potentially, you know, 55-45 or 52-48. That's a very different environment. And quite frankly, you're not going to tip those Trump voters. If you liked what you saw with Hulk Hogan and, you know, Trumpomania running all over you, there's nothing that Kamala Harris can say. But I want to build just briefly on something Matt said, because I think it's so important. You know, and I say this as a former Republican, so Democrats who are listening, I hope you'll take this to heart that I'm saying this. You know, the lock her up thing and how Hillary handled it versus how Kamala Harris handles it is the reason why Kamala Harris is pulling in Republicans and Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, quite frankly.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad message. We don't want to have this politics of hatred, politics of revenge, politics of vengeance, politics of demonization. We want, you know, a sunnier politics. And Trigby was mentioning what year it reminds us of. In a way, the Harris campaign, when she's on that optimistic, joyous ride, is 1980 Ronald Reagan more than anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, bring that back. I think that's a real successful message.
And Matt, talk for a second about this, because Trigby and I talked about on our show this afternoon the fact that, you know, as former Republicans, he and I, it used to be that it was Republican conventions, a chance of USA, USA, and flags, and patriotism, and positivity. And that is, Trigby said this today, that has flipped. That is now the Democratic Party that is positive and USA and patriotic. And our old party, now the MAGA Party, is nothing but, you know, sucking on grapefruits and eating lemons.
Yeah, and I heard you guys talking about it today. I thought you were absolutely correct. And look at the signs that are all over the Pfizer Forum right now. What is the word that is on the banners? The word is freedom. Kamala Harris talks about freedom all the time. Actually, Hillary, in some of her best passages yesterday, talked about freedom. You know, for the Democrats to recapture the word freedom is a really smart tactic, and I also think great politics.
I'll talk to you guys just quickly. Dan Schaefer talked about this. You both know the state politics so well. What could Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, the coattails, do legislatively in the state? Dan Schaefer was saying now in some of his models, the assembly is a toss-up. First Matt, then Trigby, quickly.
Well, I agree with that. It's hopeful. You know, they're good candidates. Tara Johnson up in the La Crosse area, Christian Phelps in the Eau Claire area, really good candidates. And also, of course, in the congressional race up in the 8th, with Dr. Christian Lyerly, really exciting races.
Trigby, you're big on Lyerly. Yeah.
I am big on Lyerly. You know, and I say that as a pro-life conservative, and particularly given that she's running against Tony Weird. Weed, sorry. the reality is that she is somebody who really represents who the people are of that district. And quite frankly, you know, Todd, when she was on the show, she said, you know, her partner is a police officer who's a Republican. A lot of her high school friends from the rural part of that district are Republican, had voted for Trump, but they understand who she is as a person. And quite frankly, that's what has to happen in these assembly races. It has to be about
voters. Hold that thought, guys.
We're going to do a little business, and we'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to Civic Media coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Keep it right here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Once again, your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Welcome back to United Center, or as we like to call it tonight, Fiserv Forum South, as we're having basically two Democratic National Conventions tonight, one in Chicago, one in Milwaukee. The nominee and her running mate will be speaking up in Milwaukee, and here in Chicago, Barack Obama in his adopted hometown. This has to be a big night for him to be giving this address, especially given all the events of the last month or so.
Yeah, Terry, and there's even a further Wisconsin connection. You have a little tidbit for us.
Oh, this is really cool. So tonight is the roll call of states, which is a formality. Well, it's always a formality, but for the past 50 years or so. But tonight, it really is a formality because they've already taken the official roll call. They did that virtually, and that was to get on the ballot in time for Ohio because they put a 90-day requirement on this. So Kamala Harris is already the nominee. But tonight, it's a television show. You have to have this. So they're going to do the roll call of states. And the person who is going to be calling on each state is a Wisconsinite. His name's Jason Ray, and he's the Democratic National Committee's secretary. And he lives in Glendale, and I understand he grew up quite a ways north. But he's a Wisconsinite lifelong, and he will be in the national spotlight. So if you're watching the roll call of states tonight, the person who calls on each state will be his voice. His name is Jason Ray. Mm-hmm. He lives in Glendale. And I also heard another tidbit that, we're at a sports arena, and kind of like baseball, Brewers are doing great. Right. I guess each state is going to get its own walk-up song.
Really?
Yes, during the roll call
tonight. Now, Mr. Zahmer should be the engineering for that because we know he's so great with walk-up songs.
That's right.
Maybe he and DJ Shauna could get together on that one. Gentlemen, let's go back to our panel just for a second, if we could, please. I want to start, Matt, with you and then to Trigvi. Matt, you were in our studio the day after, the morning after, maybe it should just be called the morning after period, the event, which was the Biden-Trump debate. I'll say it, you're a little dejected. I'll put it that way. The energy here now, just 30 days ago, Matt, 30 days, as a Democrat, do you sense that the energy is just completely transformed and this shot the arm from both Michelle and Barack Obama is what people need tonight?
Yeah, well, it's going to be like exhilaration squared because, look, right after Biden dropped out, their first emotion was just tremendous relief because we knew he was taking us over a cliff. And then it's this exhilaration that Kamala Harris has brought this joy. She's brought the joy back, and we're going to ride that all night long and all convention long.
Trigvi Olson, again, you and I are both former Republicans. I know you were looking at numbers. You're a statistics guy. You have access to a lot of information. You also were not thrilled with the prospect of Biden being the candidate all the way through to Election Day. What have you seen in the numbers change, the intensity now amongst particularly independents? You've done some focus groups in Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and in Milwaukee. What are you seeing in this intensity change?
I mean, one of the first things that jumps out at you is it used to be when you did Trump groups, right? Like before he dropped out, they thought they had this thing made. You know, they were like the Chicago Bulls in 93 with Michael Jordan walking on the court. They knew they were going to win. That is completely reversed. They're now like the, I don't know who they're like my Minnesota Timberwolves before Ant and Rudy Gobert got to town. They were walking out on the court thinking they're going to lose. So that is completely flipped. I think the other thing is, quite frankly, Harris has completely exceeded, including mine, expectations for how good she is on the stump and as a candidate.
I mean, she's flying up in a military helicopter. I'm not sure she's going to land a Fiserv or whatever, but I mean, she the grassroots intensity, and she's just so darn good at it. And Walls is so good at it. You know, talking to a high school football team this weekend. I mean, that the authenticity when you compare it to what's going on the other side.
100%, and you know what? To me, was her best moment so far in this campaign is when she was getting heckled by the far left Palestinian protesters. And she said, I believe in freedom and we all have a voice. And if you want Donald Trump, you can cast your voice that way. But right now I'm speaking. It was her Sister Soljan moment. It was her Mr. Green, I'm paying for this microphone moment. It was Reagan-esque. It was Bill Clinton-esque. It, you know, I said to you on the show earlier, Todd, when you've been doing this as long as I have and Matt has, you can tell a good candidate pretty quickly from a bad candidate. That was the moment when I knew she's a lot better candidate than what Chris Acevedo, Susie Wiles, and Donald Trump thought. And it's why Donald Trump, quite frankly, is flipping out and doing things like suing us rather than focusing on talking about how to get elected.
Matt Rothschild,
I mean, not
the same
us
point.
As in civic media, I mean us as in Lincoln Project.
Lincoln Project. Matt Rothschild, same subject.
Yeah, I just think Kamala Harris has been a tremendous surprise, actually, for people who are doubting her ability. Look, for the last 3.5 years, she's been giving speeches all across the country and all across the world. She's put in her 10,000 hours. She knows how to do it. And Walz has been a tremendous asset, too, who will keep paying benefits, especially here in Wisconsin.
Oh, can I leave you guys with one last thought on that? Any candidate that can put together a coalition that has Matt and I both excited about it is probably doing something right, given that guys like Matt and I used to beat each other's brains in on a regular basis politically.
Terry? I'm going to be one to throw a wet blanket over all this because it's what I do. But, you know, the questions are increasing as to, you know, why she has not done any sort of, you know, press, any kind of one-on-one or press conference at this point. Is that something she's going to have to do sooner rather than later?
Trick me.
Said by the cynic in the press, Terry. No, I know. Here's the thing. I am sure that she will be doing some press. I don't think, though, that it may end up being national press. It may be a lot of, I'm going to go talk to WEAU or civic media, or like she can step outside that. She doesn't have to sit down with the editorial board of the New York Times, and maybe that will limit the people from the New York Times calling me and asking me for my take. But the truth of the matter is, if I were running her campaign, and she's got really smart people running her campaign who seem to get it, she doesn't have to do that to build a narrative. She can spend some time with media in those key states. But I don't think she has to be having press conferences.
Quickly, Matt, same question.
She's sailing now. There's no reason for her to do anything different than what she's doing right now.
That will do it for tonight from Chicago. I want to thank Todd Aubaugh. I want to thank Trigvi Olsen and Matt Rothschild. Also, Chris Casper and Corey Hartman and Aaron Zommers and everybody behind the scenes for making this broadcast possible. You've been listening to Civic Media's special coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. I'm Terry Bell. Good night.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Aubaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Aubaugh here. Join us next time as we continue our coverage live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Trigvi Olsen, the Lincoln Project, is here along with Bill McCutcheon. We'll break it on down for you. Join us.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.